This sermon, all right? So, Astrid, can you come and join me for prayer, please? Let's pray. Remember your job you've got to do at the end of it, okay? Right. Oh, Lord, we just want to thank you for Astrid and for what you've blessed her with in terms of your word for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the preparation, for the wrestling with that word to come to where we are today. Lord, I thank you for the preaching in this church and how it has fed us as a fellowship over the years. Lord, I just pray for now that our hearts would be open. Our prayer is partly for us this morning, Lord, that you would remove those barriers, that we would be open to that word which has been prepared, that you would, your Holy Spirit would be upon Astrid as she speaks, and that we would listen. We would be moved, and Lord, your Spirit would move among us in this time now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, after all that, thank you so much, and Happy New Year. I'm going to move to this lectern. It's slightly higher and slightly wobblier. If it all falls apart, there we are. You can have a good laugh. Happy New Year, first of all. It's great to be here. I'm going to move back to the other one. It's all right. My eyes will cope. Just while people adjust all of the hardware around me, I want to continue to think about prayer this morning. I want to start with the prayer that I came across as something that someone called a crossing over prayer. Don't get spooked. It just means moving from one year into the next. We've prayed giving thanks this morning for all the good things that God has done here within our church family. This prayer is very much more personal, and so I want us to pray it together. So let's pray. Good Father, for every breath I've breathed, I thank and remember you with love. Let's just pause. Good Father, for every meal, drink, and good night's sleep, I thank and remember you with love. For every friendship and loved one, I thank and remember you with love. For my very existence in this beautiful world, I thank and remember you with love. Amen. I found it a really beautiful prayer. I found it a really moving prayer when I came to engage with this as we moved into the new year. But I also found it incredibly challenging as well, because for me, it begs the question, what does my pattern of prayer look like? And I want to share that question with you this morning. What does your pattern of prayer look like? You see, the prayer we've just shared focuses on gratitude rather than asking. It focuses on the ordinary and the everyday things rather than the big things. It acknowledges God's generosity and his goodness rather than focusing on what we think we lack. It holds silence before God to allow God to speak to us, to remind us maybe of something specific. And it's arresting in its simplicity, but also in its intimacy. Did you notice the way it started? Good Father. So personal. And I suspect that most of us, as we start this new year, might well be thinking, even if we've not made it our resolution, I'd like to develop a deeper relationship with God this year. I'd like to grow spiritually this year. But if we're honest, our actions don't always match what we want, and this could be because we're not really quite sure of how we can develop that spiritual depth and growth in our relationship with Jesus. I'm hoping that this new teaching series is going to help us to grow spiritually. For the next few weeks, we're going to explore discipleship. That means how we can be followers of Jesus and how we can encourage others to be followers of Jesus too. And today we're going to focus on how we speak with and how we listen to God. And we call this prayer. And I'm going to focus more on listening than I am on speaking. And I take that as a personal message to my own communication style. A conversation, a good conversation, is a two-way street. It goes back and it goes forwards. And just as it being true for when we're speaking face to face with somebody, or texting with somebody, or emailing with somebody, it is true for when we are communicating with God as well. Prayer isn't just talking to Him, it's also listening to Him as well. But we live in such a noisy world. External voices demand our attention. They might include people around us, they might include text and email alerts, they might include social media notifications, advertising. We're bombarded by noisy voices that are outside of us. And we have noisy internal voices as well. Our thoughts, our worries, our anxieties, our to-do lists, our decisions, the things that we want to get done, and our emotional responses to what's going on around us. With all this noise, we might well think it is near on impossible to listen to God's voice. So we're going to look at one or two maybe tips and pointers on how we can do this today. And we're going to start with the story in 1 Kings. If you're if you've got a Bible to hand, or you want to go and grab one from the back of the church, that would be great. We're going to look at 1 Kings 19, verses 9 to 13. Okay, I've just been told my earring is banging the microphone. My apologies. I am not at all together today, am I? There we are. That's great. Good, good. Now we can have loud sounds and it won't be the crashing of drum beat. And I'll put my notes back on the lectern as well. And we will carry on. So this is a story. 1 Kings 19. This is a story about Elijah, an Old Testament prophet who was sent to challenge a wicked king called Ahab and his wife Jezebel, who were leading the people of Israel away from God and towards Baal gods. Elijah has a really dramatic encounter with 400 Baal prophets, and God shows up in a big way and he wins the battle. But Queen Jezebel responds really badly to this outcome. Instead of repenting, which is what Elijah was hoping would happen, she threatens to kill Elijah, and he runs away, reaching Mount Horeb, and Elijah hides in a cave. So we're going to start reading this at verse 9. Let's find it here. There he went to a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Then a voice said to him, that when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I want us to pause for a moment and just notice what happens in this passage. There were three incredibly loud voices sent by God, three powerful and incredibly loud forces which grab Elijah's attention, but God wasn't in the whirlwind, and God wasn't in the earthquake, and God wasn't in the fire. Says after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. There came the voice that said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God spoke after it was silent. And I wonder, how and when and where do we practice being quiet and still before God? Speaking personally, I try and be quiet and still before God in the morning after I've completed some domestic chores, because they would distract me if I hadn't done them. So after I'm showered and dressed and the dishwasher's been emptied and the laundry has been sorted, I sit down with a mug of coffee and my breakfast. And at that point, I'm able to come before God and to be still. It's when I breathe slowly. It's when I get out my journal. This is why I'm having trouble with this. I've brought my journal up with me just to sort of wave it at you. I sit with my journal and I often do my talking to God by writing things down. I'll comment on the previous day. I'll perhaps record the things that I've got coming up in that day. And as I turn to the Bible, and as I notice things, either from the Bible or maybe from the devotional material that I'm using alongside that, I will make a note in my journal. And I can turn negative things into prayer. And I can record gratitude there for where I see God at work. It's the time of the day when I allow my inner being to come to a place of rest. And the reason why I record it in a journal is because I forget. I forget the good things that God has done. I forget the things that were on my heart on Monday by the time it gets to Wednesday. I forget that I've forgiven someone when I get cross with them again. I forget. And so my journal is that record of that quiet, still time before God. It's something that goes round with me, to work as well as being at home, because God will speak to me in all sorts of ways, but usually when I come to him in the quiet and I still my heart. It takes practice. It's a repeated process that can then become a habit. And so if you don't have a regular time in the day where you sit and are still before God, can I invite you to think about how you might be able to carve out time with God, to devise some sort of daily habit, daily routine that includes spending time with him. We live in such a noise-filled world. We have to be intentional about making that time. But not only are we living in noise-filled worlds, we're living in a very busy world as well. So we might be in that season of life where it's rush out the door to get to work and beat the traffic if we can. We might be in that season where we're rounding up children, making sure we've got PE kit, book bag, and anything else that they need to have to get through their day. We might be in a season of life where, quite frankly, it just takes a long time to get out of bed, to get moving, to knock back our fistful of pills, because that's the season of life we're in. Or it may just be that our season of life is that the moment we are up and awake and on the go, we're just filled with a lot of thoughts, a lot of things, ordinary day-to-day things that keep us busy in our minds. Let's look at how Jesus found time to listen to God and his busyness. We're going to turn to Mark 1, and I'm going to read from verse 32, and it's on page 1003, if that's helpful to you. So starting at verse 32, we read, "That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was." What a busy, busy, busy day Jesus had, battling against the enemy forces at work in the world. So many people wanted something from him. They all wanted a piece of him, and he gave generously to him. Let's notice, he gave generously to them, sorry. Let's notice what comes next. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus steps out of the busyness of his life to carve out time that he can spend with his Father God. And surely if Jesus needed to do that, don't we? Don't we need to find time where we can step out of the day-to-day? So again, speaking personally, I find that my quiet time in the morning, that time that I just talked about, sitting with my journal, it's not enough. It's not enough to deepen my relationship with him. I step out of busyness by having a planned quiet morning every couple of months or so. I go to a local community called Hope Weavers in West End. And I also have put aside a Saturday once a month this year to have a Sabbath rest day. It's just a break from the ordinary. It might include spending time with my family or friends, but part of the day will be spent looking at the Bible, talking and listening to God, and perhaps reviewing what I've written in my journal. I looked at my journal yesterday for December and just thought, how bland. I thought I'd had a really exciting Advent, but when I came to review it, I thought, oh, apart from a couple of moments, how dull. And it spurred me into action. It spurred me into what more, what different, what new, Lord, come. Because I get into a routine, into a rut. And sometimes God needs to shake me out of that. And so for my Sabbath to be effective, there are certain things I don't do. I don't use my phone. I don't look at social media. I don't go shopping because it's a distraction. And I try and step out of the ordinary routines. I don't do housework. I will cook a meal, though. Last year, I failed to practice Sabbath. And the reason why I failed to do it is because I didn't put it in my diary at the beginning of the year. This year, it will be different because the dates are all there. The voice of God comes to us when we step out of our normal routines. It takes practice. It's a repeated process. And it's only by repeating the process will it become a habit. I invite you to reflect this year on how you could carve out intentional space and time to step out of the ordinary day-to-day and into a more intentional time of presence with God. John Mark Comer, who wrote books like The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry and Practicing the Way, he says one of the most useful things a mentor ever said to him was learning to hear God's voice is the most important task of being a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Learning to hear God's voice is the most important task of a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus said the same when he went to visit a couple of sisters called Mary and Martha. I'm sure many of us will be familiar with the story. As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And I had a Mary and Martha moment just before Christmas. I got up early. I'd got 101 things on my to-do list. And I thought, how can I do all of that and have my quiet time and get to work? So I thought, that's fine, the Lord won't mind, I'll skip my quiet time today. But I felt a kind of a spiritual dig in the ribs. So I sat down and I opened up the app that I was using, and oh my word, I was moved to tears by the presence of the Lord that moment, that morning. A fresh wonder of Christmas came on me. The stresses of the season were just washed away. A fresh sense of peace absolutely filled me. In that moment, Jesus became God with me. He became God to me. He became God in me. He became God to me. He became God for me. All the jobs that were on my to-do list either got done or I forgot about the need for them to be done. I'm not really quite sure what it was. But the priority of spending time with Jesus was so precious. I forgot to be Martha and I focused on being Mary. Jesus invites us to sit at his feet and to learn from him, to be still and to put the noisiness of the world to one side, to step out of the ordinary day to day and just prioritize him. And we have to plan that. We have to put it in our diaries. We have to allow it to be the structure of our day, of our week, of our month, and of our year. Interestingly, the word habit, which is really what I'm talking about, building a habit of spending time with God, the word habit shares the same Latin root as the word inhabit. When our habit is to spend time with Jesus, we will find that he inhabits every part of our life. Something that in our leadership prayer meeting today, I was reminded of. It was just something Paul prayed, and I thought, I made a note of that in my journal. And so I want to share something that a guy called James Clear has written. And he's talking about habits, and he says, we do not rise to the habits of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. Yeah. As human beings, we don't rise to the habits of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. We need the structure in place if we're going to develop a deeper and a more intimate relationship with Jesus. And God knows how hard we find this. And so in Romans, we read of the help that he sends us in the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, we read, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. God knows we find this so tricky. He knows we find it so hard. And so when we show up to be in his presence, his Holy Spirit is there already teaching us and helping us not only to talk to God, but to hear. The Holy Spirit keeps us tuned in to God when we find the time, when we make the time to be still, to step out of the busyness and to focus on him. So we're going to pray that crossing over prayer as we go into 2026. Pray that God will be present to us. Good Father, for every breath I will breathe in the year ahead, help me to notice you are there. For every meal, drink, and good night's sleep in the year ahead, help me to notice you there. For every friendship and loved one in the year ahead, help me to notice that you are there. For my very existence in this beautiful world, help me to notice and embrace you in the coming year. And Father God, for that prayer to be our reality for 2026, guide us, lead us, challenge us and change us so that we might plan time with you, that we might prioritize time with you. If needs be, Lord, help us to put it in our diaries so that as our systems improve, so will our relationship with you deepen in the coming year ahead. Amen.